I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
Something like 11 days it's been since the last time I did this podcast. I'm on a just an insane work thing going on right now. The resort's pretty short-staffed, and man, it's been, I think I've had like two single day offs, burritos supreme, days off in the last like 40 days. It's nuts. And anyway, I no end in sight really, but I will get back on the hog, as they say. I don't know who they are, but they freaking say that, and it's kind of weird that they say that. Anyway, I talked to my buddy Jackson Long. He and his podcast partner, Aaron Stuber, had a thing called Thought for Food. They don't do that anymore. Okay, they don't do Thought for Food anymore. Now they do Food for Thought. I'm just kidding. They don't do it anymore. They do kind of doing their own things. They're still buddies. Anyway, I was thinking about Jackson last weekend, and then universe, you know, you guys know how woo-woo I am. I'm like, what's up with the cosmos, man? Because that's freaking weird. He emailed me out of the blue, like 2 days later. He goes, hey, what's up? Just checking in. It's been a while. And I was like, holy crap, I was just thinking about you. I sent that into the freaking stars, man. Cassiopeia and whatever, something else happened. And then that happened. And so we decided to touch base. We hadn't talked in a long time. So we Skyped. It's amazing. So good. Because he's in Idaho. And as you guys know, I'm not anti-technology. I'm just saying I do the best I can. And since we're not in the same freaking town, because nobody is in the same town as I am, Skype is amazing. So we were video chatting for like an hour. I just thought we'd have 10 minutes. And we just got into this conversation. So cool, right? Very old school. It's called, so I looked it up because I wasn't sure. We were having what's called a, quote, conversation, end quote. It wasn't a Facebook messaging. It was actually face-to-face conversation. It was very odd. I think it's going to catch on, however. And speaking of Facebook, this episode is not about that. But just look, I feel a little bit bad about being so right about social media. But Facebook's like not, knowing that certain things they're posting and ads that people are placing are false, like actually false. Facebook's like freedom of speech, which, okay, if that's your thing, if that you believe that, if you're just the platform and you go, look, we're the platform, people, you guys regulate yourselves. That's fine. If that's your thing, then you should have been that way from the beginning, but you weren't, were you? You were manipulating stuff, weren't you? And you still are, and you're manipulating people, aren't you? So you're not just a platform, are you? You wealthy bastard. And that's really the whole thing of it for me, is I'm just jealous of how much money that guy has. Mark Zuckerberg. I'm having an espresso with a freaking biscotti on the side. Biscotti, 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 biscotti. I feel like I'm like in Italy, except for I'm in an Italian basement. But there's a Vespa. I think like Italians have a Vespa in like wherever they are. It's just like I'm at the market and there's a Vespa. But a really good espresso. And a really good biscotti. So neither here nor there. I just wanted to let you know that I had checked in with Jackson because it's kind of cool. And I miss the guy. Maybe I'll have him on the podcast. Have I done any interviews yet? 65 episodes in? No, not one. Hasn't come up. So I have a client. This is another funny story. I have a client. She's a runner. She's running with her husband. And they did a race. In fact, I think they're going to come do my race next April. Neither here nor there. They're doing a race, and they got to chatting with somebody they were running with, and I don't know if they were. They got to talking that they were going to do my race. Well, yeah, we're going to do a 50K in April, and there's one in Mendocino. And the guy knew about the race, and he goes, "Oh, you can get in because I know that race." And he goes, "Yeah, I know that race. It's run by that guy who's into that vegan thing," he said. The guy who's into that's me. He's talking about me. That guy who's into the vegan thing. And I'm into the vegan thing. It's a thing for me. It's like it's a hobby. It's a thing that I do. It's like there's two things I do. If you're just joining this podcast, I think it's time for you to know about me. I do two things. I'm into the vegan thing and I'm into the collaging thing. I do two. Those are like the two things I'm. Is he into those things? Is he into collaging? Oh, yeah. Sid is into collaging. And also, oh, he's also into that vegan thing. And by the way, collaging is also vegan. So there's no conflict. Although one, I have to tell you one time, I put a collage together, a really good one, this one. A lot of clippings and sticking things on things I did that time that I was collaging. But one time, I had a picture that I found of Mary Stuart Masterson that has stuck on that page. And then next to her, because I don't... I just taped a piece of bacon. So that was like a thing that was a collage. That particular collage was not bacon. No, sorry, not vegan. It was full of bacon. It's not vegan at all. You know what I mean? And I can't remember the metaphor, but I think there was one. And if you guys have an idea of what that means, because maybe you go, oh, that represents, then shoot me an email, podcast@sidgar. Tell you what, I'll throw in a Nutty Nut Nut shirt and send it to you. I'll cover all the costs, unless you're living in Sweden. I'll cover the mailing of that. You just email podcast@sidgarzahilman.com with what you think that means. I'll mail a shirt to the best answer I get. The correct answer, because there was a correct answer. I just don't remember what it was. There's just nothing better than an espresso. Can we agree on that? Can we, in this divided culture in which we live, this just vitriol, the anger, can we at least agree that espresso is fantastic, if not the best coffee drink, period? That's non-controversial, right? You know what else is non-controversial is everybody who supports me on Patreon. That's non-con. That's just nice. Thank you very much. That's my thanks today, okay? Sign up for my newsletter on the website. Everything else in the show notes. So, this episode is entitled, which I'm kind of entitled myself, so that it's perfect that I use that term, on putting yourself out there. Here's what I did, and this is not like, oh, he just trying to promote. I make nothing from what I'm about to tell you. I'm just saying the process of what I did is what I'm going to talk about today, because it is very much the process of what I've experienced with people that I've worked with and everything else and being in what I do. And so I wanted to discuss that this week. In this week, by this week I mean this 11-day turnaround that I'm doing on this podcast currently, apparently. The documentary that I've mentioned a few times on this podcast, potentially, on my band, using footage from 14 years ago, and then I played that show last February, got them together, the band, for my 50th birthday, and played a show, and it was amazing, and just great and fun, and so good. I mean, it wasn't a great show, but it was just, the whole experience was incredible. And so, but I had all this old footage, and so I thought, well, I'll cut it. And so I cut it, and it looked like a story. It had an arc. As I was culling through this old footage, I could see the very, very clear end of the band, and we didn't even realize it at the time, but it was, we kind of realized it, I think, but then we kind of thought, maybe, you know, and so anyway, but it's kind of cool. And then it finishes with 14 years later, the show that we played. So it was really fun. And I hired an editor to do what I am not able to do, which is to do it well. And you know, she went through and kind of toned it up and everything. Anyway, I decided, because to me it was pretty cool, and the band saw it, and, you know, and people who watched it were like, that's a cool documentary. So I thought, well, let me throw it into some indie film festivals. I'm gonna submit it, as they say, as the kids say. I did nothing fancy. I didn't have a poster. I didn't have anything. I mean, I just was like, well, let me just find some smaller film festivals and just see if, you know. I got, so this is exciting news. I got rejected from 100% of them, which is, I think, pretty amazing, because I don't know if even that happens. And this happened. So 100%. I think 100% is always successful. Even if it's just 100% rejection, I think, like, when you, it's perfect. Like, if you, you know, a lot of times people talk about perfection and that holds people up. I got a perfect score. And I think that's always a good thing. Like, if you just lose a tournament 0 to 1,000 and you lost 1,000 to 0, like, it's a perfect loss. Like, it's perfect. Zero. You got zero. Well, that's what I got. I got like zero rejections, or, because I'm a silver lining type guy, I got 100% rejections. So what I decided to do was, and I, look, I'm not stupid. A buddy of mine, Will Geiger, he's a director. He's directed some films. Elvis and Annabelle is a great one. You might want to look that up. Anyway, he's a buddy of mine. He lives in Mendocino, and he kind of, now actually he's living in Italy, Ren. I swear to you, he's living in Italy. It's not a joke. I'm having a biscotti, but it's not in his honor. I'll tell you that much. I mean, I don't know what he's doing over there. I'm assuming he's doing what I'm doing, but he's sitting on a freaking Vespa. That's what I think. He watched it, and he goes, he goes, good movie. But you really need to tighten it up and do some changes if you wanted to submit it. Like right now, it's a good movie. Like if you just want to put it out there and show people and show your friends and every, you know, like your YouTube followers, and it's good that way. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. You know, right on. And I never got notes from him. I was going to try to do that, but he actually moved to Italy. I'm not even kidding. And so I tightened it up a little bit, but then I just figured, well, I'll just throw it out there and submit it and see what happens. And I think that it truly could use a little bit of, if I were into that. And I'm not into that. I don't really give a crap. It was for fun. I just thought I'd submit it. I did not go back and try to re-edit it. I'm not going to. Why? Got bigger fish to fry. Okay, I am having an espresso with biscotti. Obviously, there are more important things on my mind right now. Okay? That's just what I did. So I didn't go the extra distance that he suggested, and I think he's right about that. So it goes. I am getting to a point, by the way, if you're getting snooty about that, because I am. Okay, so 100% rejections. So what I did was I just launched it. It's on Vimeo. Okay? If you haven't subscribed to my new Vimeo channel, you might want to do that. Use the link in this show notes, because again, I screwed up in the beginning. So there's like two. Whichever one you follow, it posts to both of them on Vimeo. But I have like an actual channel on Vimeo. Okay. So I launched it. I just made it public. So people are watching it. I have no idea what the feedback is. I have no idea. But this episode is, I want to talk about, because this is what I've been thinking about as I put this new thing in the world. I'm working on a new book. I'm, you know, into it. I just submitted a proposal to a publisher. I'm 50. I've been doing things like this for a while. I've been putting out albums since I was in my 20s. I've been, you know, wrote the two books. There's, you know, it was in movies and TV, although those aren't my things per se. Like, I mean, I was in them, but they're not my babies, like my albums and my books. But when you put something into the world, as exciting and I just want to, as a side note, please, if you do this, put anything into the world, first and foremost, make it something that you are proud of at the time that you do it. Later, you could look back and go, oh my God, that's so bad. But at the time, be proud of it. Work on it until you're proud of it, that it's good and you like it. I did that with a documentary. I'd have to go the extra mile to make it something that's probably going to get, you know, accepted or, you know, ups the chances. But again, probably still get accepted. I have no idea, but it's not my, I'm not a filmmaker. Again, that's kind of why I didn't, you know, go back to it. But I'm really happy with it. Do something that you're happy, finish it in a way that you go, yes, I am happy with this thing, because then you aren't tied to the outcome as much. More on that in a second. What I'm saying is as I look back at my career and doing different things, sure, I'm writing healthy, health-minded kind of books. I'm writing a new book, which is more of a philosophy book, less about the health aspect. It never gets easier in a way to put something in the world as exciting as it is, and you go, yes, I like this thing, and then at that point, you know, when you put it in the world, you hope other people will like it and respond to it and attend to it. But it's hard every time. It's hard every time. You're putting something out there, and when you put something out there, you're putting your ass out there with it. It's like you're affixing your ass to a book. And your ass and the book go into the world. Your Amazon's like one ass left in stock. And then that, you know, like more ass coming soon. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of nervousness and fear and anxiety. And it's a weird place to be in, because you at the same time want to put something out there. And at the same time you sort of go, oh my gosh, I'm putting something out there. So maybe I was incorrect when I said it doesn't get easier. I think it gets a little easier with each time that you do that, but it never gets easy. It's always a, a weird place to be in, but so, and this could speak to the social aspect of our species and how tribal we are. And when we were, you know, in groups of people together physically, we would share stories and things like that. And so maybe there's something bigger on that level. That's probably what social media takes advantage of in its ability to lock us in, which is we still have this potentially a desire to share our experiences with people. Obviously, this podcast is one of those things. I wouldn't, you know, ordinarily talk about my collaging, but then, you know, I felt like, hey, this is a really good, you know, I feel like we're sitting around a campfire right now, and I'm going out with it. But the point is there's a fear and a fulfillment at the same time. How interesting, because putting yourself out there does deliver fulfillment. It does, creating something and putting into the world, especially, like I said, if it's something you're proud of and you personally are happy with it, later you may get accolades, you may not, but boy, it makes a lot less difference if you've got a core thing that you're proud of. Like my books, my first two books, proud of them both. One, successful. One, oh, totally not successful. So it's a bummer, but not that much of a bummer, because I'm actually prouder of the second book that's less successful than I am of the first book, which is more successful. So who knows? I have no idea. Once you put it out in the world, you sort of roll in the dice on that. But I want to say a couple things. It doesn't diminish the experience, the life experience, the enhancement that you get from creating something and putting it out there, putting yourself out into the world in that way. You are setting yourself up for criticism. You are setting yourself up for you know, rejection. And yet the strength of the move itself, I think, overtakes any kind of negative. I think the positive way outweighs the negative in this regard. To put yourself out into the world, I think is going to always deliver the goods in terms of a happy life. It's just always going to be wrapped up in a package that also involves some negative stuff there. I just think that whole model is so much better than staying inside the shell of your life and never putting yourself out there and never trying things and never taking any risks and never working hard to create something and put it out there to just play it safe all the time. I think we know how that turns out also. And here's the other side of it. I think for people who aren't putting themselves out into the world, now I'm actually not reacting to anything that actually happened to me. This is just in general. I mean, it's happened to me in the past, but there's nothing specific in this last 11 days where I was like, I'm talking about this. But it is very easy for people to Monday morning quarterback, and so easy for people to speak from the sidelines. You should do this. And that's what you should have. You should have done that. Monday morning quarterbacks and speaking from the sidelines. Okay? You guys know I love the sports. I'm really into sports. So those are two sports metaphors. I'm not sure what the sport was. I think it's golf. Monday morning quarterbacking and speaking from the sidelines. It's the work of people who aren't putting their own work into the world. It's the job of people who are sitting in their homes, not putting stuff out into the world. Very easy to say, here's what I would have done. And here's what you should do next time. You know, you might want to do this. And they could be correct. They could. But to me, it's irrelevant. Because it's not, first of all, they're speaking only to the thing that they think would make your product or what you did more successful in the world. And if you're proud of your product, that's a lot less important, as I said. So they're going to critique the thing to say, here's how it would be more monetarily successful, essentially. That's kind of the deal. Really, their only comment should be, if you're not, and your only comment, if you're listening to this, thank you. I'm glad you're here. Put something into the world. And if you're not, or if you haven't, or if you're working on something, the comments of people who haven't put something into the world to the people who have should only really ever be, quote, hey, good for you for putting something into the world. Takes courage. Good for you. And I got nothing else to say on that. I got nothing else to say. That's it. Good for you for putting it out there. How quickly and easy we can say, well, so here's what you did wrong. Really, what I did wrong? You mean I put something, put my heart and soul in something and put it into the world? And what did I do wrong? Period. I put something into the world that wasn't there before. And I think getting, if there's benefit of getting older, and I think there's a lot of benefits to getting older, I will say, is I am less invested in the rejection, or maybe I understand what it really means. I have been able to, and in the process of seeing the separation between the worldly of rejection and the work itself and my relationship to the work itself. I think that's way more of utmost importance. I mean, the relationship I have with the work itself is what feeds my life, happiness-wise, family-wise, you know, being living a good life-wise is about the work and really not about the rejection. I mean, I got rejected from all those film festivals, and I would look at their, you know, sort of the answer would be due on a certain date, and I'd look and I'd get, you know, rejected, and I'd be like, that's a bummer. It wasn't like, ah, oh, now I'm not trying to be a filmmaker, so maybe I don't have so much invested in that, but it just didn't bother me. It was like, oh, yeah, all right, fine, stupid. The sideline people, the people who aren't in the arena, have no idea what it's like to put something into the world. They just don't know. They don't know. And when they critique something that somebody else has put into the world, they are doing that from a position of complete ignorance as to what it takes to not to make the thing, but then to put the thing in the world. It's like I said, anxiety-ridden and fear-ridden. There's lots of things wrapped up in this action. I never want somebody to underestimate the strength it takes for people to put something out there, whether it's a poem that you post online or a blog. This is a great time, as you know, because you can put something into the world without needing a record label, needing a publisher. They're helpful, to be sure, but you know you can do something. You can do that without it. Kind of cool. And so I'll kind of repeat, like, unless you're doing something yourself, the critique, there should be no critique. The comment should be maybe in your head, which is, yeah, they put something out there. That's pretty freaking awesome. Do you have an opinion about what they put out? Sure, you have an opinion. We all have opinions about whether we like the film, we don't like the film, we like the music, we don't like the music, we like the food, we don't like the food, we like the book, we don't like the book. But we've got to value ourselves, but at the same time understand that our single subjective opinion really makes no difference. I mean, it really makes no difference, especially if somebody didn't ask for it, for crying out loud, which is like almost 100% of the time. So it's as easy as it is, and as you get, and again, easier now than ever before, because we have these platforms and we have these comment sections, you know, and all these kinds of things. Don't. Fight the urge. Fight the urge unless you just want to comment and you just got to type. Say, good for you for putting something out in the world. Even if you don't like that thing. Because it doesn't really matter at the end of the day anyway. And what happens if you don't like it, but a million other people like it? But you're the authority. You're the expert. Think about that for about 5 more seconds and then get back to me. If you're not in the game, get in the game. Put something out. Create something, put it out in the world. And when you do, you'll probably go, you know, and all those comments I made about other people's work, I wish I could take those back, because now I know really what it takes to get this done.
Better than you, what it takes to be a man. I know much better than you, what it takes to be a man. As I'm standing here on the outskirts, I'm standing here on the outskirts. Better than you, I try to claim every town. I know much better than you, I try claiming every town. 'Cause I'm watching you here from the outskirts. 'Cause I'm watching you here from the outskirts. Just thinking of my return. And I'm tired of being observing and roaming. I can't keep on running and running out. I'm tired of pressing down, pressing down, pressing down. I wanted what you think you want when I was a much younger man. I wanted what you think you want when I was a much younger man.